storm wasn't around very long, but boy, it did a lot of damage, of getting reports all over northeastern Wisconsin, including Brown County, of a lot of wind damage to property, to trees, the power lines. A lot of people, especially in the valley, waking up with no power at all. That seems to be the roughest spot, kind of like from Little Chute down to Appleton. Winds there clocked in excess of 70 miles per hour around Green Bay, Bellevue, a little bit north and east. Winds about 40 to 55 miles per hour. And hoping to talk to Lieutenant Nick Craig from the Brown County Emergency Management Office to get some details on the damage, and where even we have some roads closed because of it, and we'll try to share that yet this half hour. In the meantime, we're going to hear from Tulua Blau, who talks a little bit about the latest out of Yemen, as Yemen officials say now they have thwarted a plot to blow up at least one pipeline in that country.
There's no way to verify his claims independently, but it does sound like it matches what U.S. officials have been saying about possible Al-Qaeda attacks in Yemen.
Now, those comments came from Mohammed Kubadi. He is a advisor to the prime minister, and he's the one that reported they have thwarted this plot. Lahu explains a little bit of the details of the plot as we know it.
According to the spokesperson, the Al-Qaeda militants were going to go into the major ports dressed as military officials with military uniforms and infiltrate the area and then attack.
And once again, the U.S. had a successful drone attack, taking out allegedly six more militants.
Both of the cars were destroyed, and according to local witnesses, they could see charred bodies. It's unclear how many, if any, civilians were killed in these attacks, but it is the fifth drone strike now in less than 2 weeks in Yemen.
And Vlahou again talks a little bit more about where this alleged plot was expected and on what date it was expected to happen.
Authorities had foiled a major Al-Qaeda plot to take over two major ports, blow up pipelines, and take control of key cities. He said this plot was supposed to happen on the 27th day of Ramadan, which would have been on August 4th.
And again, we'll have more details on the alleged plot and what else is going on, as we still have several embassies closed, and also more about these drone attacks. But first, we want to talk about the big storm that came through overnight and its impact in Brown County in particular, as Lieutenant Nick Craig joins us. And Lieutenant, thanks a lot. We know how busy you are. Are there any specific pockets in Brown County that got hit harder than others?
Yeah, southern Brown County, the Wrightstown, Greenleaf, and Morrison areas are the ones that were hit the hardest due to the storm.
Now, what kind of damage are you talking about? I mean, trees down, roads closed, power's lost. What actually happened?
Yeah, everything that you named, you know, damaged vehicles, roofs that were tore off. We had a couple reports of barns that had blown completely over, a pole building blew down.
And also now, as far as we're knowing, though, no injuries from this damage?
Yeah, thank goodness, no injuries. There was actually a campground, a Apple Creek campground, southern part of the county that was hit by the storm. About 60 people there camping, and no one was injured. Tents and campers. You know, there was a couple campers that had trees fall on them, but the fire department actually had to cut or extricate people from those. But luckily, no one hurt in that.
When it comes to power outages, what are we looking at throughout Brown County?
We're looking at, last time I checked, over 7,000 customers without power, according to WPS.
Wow. And what about travel? I heard there's a lot of debris in some of the roads.
Yeah, there's three main road closures in the county. County Highway KB to Bolt Road, basically at Irish Road. County Highway NN between Lark Road and County Highway Z are closed. And then State Highway 57 south from County Highway Z to the Calumet County line is also closed.
And I know you're dealing only with Brown County, but we also know this damage not limited just to our county.
Correct, yeah. So, south of here, I know the Appleton area, Fox Cities has been hit pretty hard as well.
So, Lieutenant Craig, just in wrapping up our conversation, what's your advice to commuters this morning?
Take a look at the road closures. And if you find a tree that's blocking a road, call the Brown County Dispatch non-emergency number 391-7450, and we can get a crew there to help remove the debris and get the road back open.
We appreciate the insights. We'll talk with him again in the next hour. That's Lieutenant Nick Craig, working out of the Brown County Emergency Management Office, on the results of last night's storm, which, again, I had gotten a couple of calls and emails as well. Wrightstown, Greenleaf, Morrison, Wayside, that seems to be the toughest area that got hit. But as you heard, there's a lot of other areas without power. There are some trees down, which has limited some transportation and closed down some roads, and almost a minor miracle at that campground, which is just a little bit south of Green Bay. I mean, to think that it went through there, tents knocked down, some people trapped, but no one injured. So a minor miracle there.
Yeah, it's one thing to have a storm go through when you have an actual home.
Right, yeah.
But when you're in a tent or a little camper or something like that, that's got to be a freaky situation.
Oh, yeah,
I've never had that experience myself, but I would probably be dropping some expletives, that's for sure. And as he mentioned, you know, about 7,000 customers still without power. So that's always a pain in the you-know-what as you're trying to get up and go about your day. And now you're thinking, oh, great, everything in my fridge is going to spoil. When's the power coming back on? So, yeah, a lot of ramifications to what happened overnight.
And also, we've gotten reports from people that work here that travel up from the valley. It seems like from Little Chute into Appleton was a really hard-hit area. Many of them said there was, like, no lights on in the homes and on the streets and that, so there might even be more power damages in the valley.
Yeah, speaking of Appleton, Doug Higgins from Fox 11, the meteorologist there, he'll be joining us next half hour. He's live in Appleton this morning with Fox 11, so he'll give us an update about 6:45-ish right here with Mike and Matt on WTAQ. 6:21 with Mike and Matt. Well, the president was on Jay Leno last night. He talks about what he did on his birthday, but we don't really care about that.
Right.
The president also talked about more recent pressing issues. Here he is talking about the recent terror threats at the embassies.
Whenever we see a threat stream that we think is specific enough that we can take some specific precautions within a certain time frame, then we do so. Now, you know, it's a reminder that for all the progress we've made, getting bin Laden, putting al-Qaeda between Afghanistan and Pakistan back on its heels, that you know, this radical, you know, violent extremism is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to, you know, we've got to stay on top of it. It's also a reminder of how courageous our embassy personnel tend to be, because you can never have 100% security in some of these places.
Sure.
Yeah, the countries themselves sometimes are ill-equipped to provide the kind of security that you want. Even if we reinforce it, there's still vulnerabilities. And these diplomats, they go out there and they serve every day. Oftentimes, they have their families with them. They do an incredible job and sometimes don't get enough credit. So we're grateful to them, and we got to do everything we can to protect.
And here's the president talking about another big issue, the whole thing with Russia and Edward Snowden giving him asylum.
I was disappointed because, you know, even though we don't have an extradition treaty with them, traditionally we have tried to respect if there's a lawbreaker or an alleged lawbreaker in their country. We evaluate it and we try to work with them. They didn't do that with us. And in some ways it's reflective of some underlying challenges that we've had with Russia lately.
Right.
A lot of what's been going on hasn't been major breaks in the relationship, and they still help us on supplying our troops in Afghanistan.
Sure.
They're still helping us on counterterrorism work. They were helpful after the Boston bombing in that investigation. And so there's still a lot of business that we can do with them, but there have been times where they slip back into Cold War thinking.
And here's the president talking about the whole Trayvon Martin situation.
You know, I think all of us were troubled by what happened. And any of us who are parents can imagine the heartache that those parents went through. It doesn't mean that Trayvon was a perfect kid. None of us were. We were talking off stage. You know, when you're a teenager, especially a teenage boy,
right,
you're going to mess up. And you won't always have the best judgment. What I think all of us agree to is that we should have a criminal justice system that's fair, that's just. And what I wanted to try to explain was why this was a particularly sensitive topic for African-American families, because, you know, a lot of people who have sons know the experience they had of being followed or being viewed suspiciously. We all know that young African-American men disproportionately have involvement in criminal activities and violence for a lot of reasons, a lot of it having to do with poverty, a lot of it having to do with disruptions in their neighborhoods and their communities and failing schools and all those things. And that's no excuse, but what we also believe in is that people, everybody, should be treated fairly, and the system should work for everyone. And so what I'm trying to do is just make sure that we have a conversation and that we're all asking ourselves, are there some things that we can do to foster better understanding and to make sure that we don't have laws in place that encourage the kind of violent encounter that we saw there that resulted in tragedy.
Now, if you know anything about Jay Leno, you know that he's got a monstrous-sized car collection.
Oh, yes, he does.
Loves collecting cars. Yep. So the president brought him a car for his collection. A matchbox-sized replica of the presidential limousine.
Oh, okay.
Complete with the flying flags above the headlights. Of course, Leno was like, oh, cool, awesome. And then the president signed it and handed it over and said, here, put this in your collection. Yeah.
Okay. I'm guessing one of the lighter moments for the evening.
I'm guessing he might lose that.
Might, yeah.
That limousine at some point in his monstrous estate. 626 with Mike and Matt on WTAQ.